Good evening. Glad to see everyone back here with us this evening. As we study our Bibles once more. Friends, I don't know about you, but I've come across several, I've studied with several. Some of them even friends that have decided in the past few years, some even within the past few months, to leave the Lord's church and to begin attending a denomination. Sadly, many that I have studied the Bible with, and some that have even obeyed the gospel, have decided to forsake assembling with the saints to go attend a denomination. Over the next three Sunday nights, this is a topic and a subject that I'd like for us to study together. And one, friends, is a warning, really, for us to be able to sound the alarm to those that may be having these thoughts on their minds. That may be having thoughts of leaving the Lord's church and to begin attending a denomination, whatever the denomination may be. But friends, we need to be able to sit down with them and to let them know what exactly they're leaving. That's exactly what the Hebrews writer was doing in the book of Hebrews, warning the Hebrew people that if they decided to leave Christ, to turn their back upon the one that gave his life for them, then there was no more sacrifice left for them. They could go back to offering bulls and goats for sacrifice, but that blood was not going to do them any good. The blood of bulls and goats, the Hebrews writer said, could not take away the sin of the world. Without the blood of a perfect sacrifice, friends, there is no remission. And friends, as we begin to study with them and as we begin to show them what God's Word has to say on the matter, that there is only one church, but hopefully, friends, the folks that we know that have decided to go to a denomination will come to their senses and they'll realize that there is but one church, and it is the one that God Himself, the one that Jesus established upon His death, burial, and resurrection, of which we read in the New Testament beginning in Acts chapter 2. I want to share with you two things tonight. We'll keep these Sunday night lessons short over the next three Sundays. But I want us to keep these things in mind, friends. If I leave the church for a denomination, number one, I reject the Bible teaching that there is only one church. I want you to turn with me to several different passages tonight as we study together. But first, I want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. And notice again, I know it's ingrained in your mind, the great confession of Peter. But I want us to notice this together. Notice exactly the words of Jesus Christ. Matthew 16, beginning in verse 18. Now, Peter's already made his confession. Notice what Christ says, "And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." Alright, my showing what? Possession. It belongs to him. And church, singular or plural? Well, singular, isn't it? So there's only going to be one that belongs to Christ. "I will build my church," he says, "and the gates of hell or Hades shall not prevail against it." Again, singular or plural? Well, it's singular. There's only going to be one that belongs to him. "And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man what he, the Christ, that he was Jesus the Christ." As Christ confessed Peter, notice what he said again. There's but one church. He said, "I will build my church," not churches, not denominations. Friends, I want you to notice this as well. One other passage I think that really stands out to me personally is found in, I believe it's John chapter 15. John chapter 15. Beginning in verse 1. And hear what Christ says to his disciples. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit." Now, Let's stop there for a moment. Remember to whom he's talking, number one. He's talking to his disciples. Disciples there being followers of Jesus. Okay, he's talking specifically to them. Friends, there are those in the world today, denominational, that would apply this John 15, 1 through 8 specifically to denominations. That yes, there is one vine, but the many branches contained within that vine are the different denominations. Friends, think about that for a moment. You grow a tomato vine, does it ever give you anything other than tomatoes? Does it? You have a watermelon vine, does it ever give you anything other than watermelons? Cantaloupe vine? Any kind of melon? It gives you what it's supposed to produce, right? How wonderful, really, honestly, would it be if you could plant one seed and on that seed get all the different kind of melons? But it doesn't work that way. That's not how God set it up. That would be against nature, wouldn't it? As we look at this, now we've only read the first two verses. Look how specific Jesus gets in verses 3 through 8. He begins to tell them then who represents the branches. And notice, friends, that as we read the rest of this passage, it is not denominations. We do not have some kind of a monster out there with one head and 1,000 different bodies. We don't have a single vine out there producing all these different kinds of fruit. But we are all producing the same fruit. Verse 3 says, now ye, talking to his disciples again, ye indicates there to whom he's talking. Ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. Now, Jesus is the vine, right? The disciples are referred there to the ye. Okay, now if he's the vine and he's talking there about the branches, then who has to be the branches? Those that truly follow Jesus. Notice now what he says. He explains it. Friends, there's no way to miss this. Verse 5. I am the vine and ye who? Denominations? No. The disciples. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me. Again, notice the pronoun there. He. Friends, the word, that pronoun he there could not apply to an entire congregation or an entire denomination. As it were. It's talking about the individual followers. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, there it is again. If a man is representative there of the branch, or a branch is representative of the man. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch. He's showing the comparison again. And is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. I don't think there's any way that we can miss that. If we leave the church for denomination, friends, we deny the Bible teaching. We reject the Bible teaching that there is only one church. We read in Ephesians 1, 22 and 23 that the church is the body and the body is the church. How many bodies? There's but one. The Bible does not say that the bodies are the church, but the body, one. In Ephesians 4, 4 through 6, we read that there is one body. Just one. Colossians 1 and verse 18, we read that there is one head and how many bodies? One body. Ephesians 5, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5 beginning in verse 23 is where we're going to start. Ephesians 5 beginning in verse 23. Now friends, oftentimes as preachers we'll use this and even as we study it ourselves, many times we'll study Ephesians chapter 5 beginning here in verse 23. We'll study this as pertaining to our marriages. And rightfully so. Because that's exactly the relationship that the church has with Christ. It is, the church is His bride. And as such, as His bride, we are to be submissive unto Him. And Paul is very clear at the end of this chapter. That's exactly what he's talking about. He's not necessarily talking about marriage in and of itself here. He's talking about the relationship between Christ and His church. And as such, I want you to notice the nouns and pronouns that Paul uses in describing the church and its relationship to Christ in Ephesians 5:23 through 32. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. All right? Notice the word "the" there. Okay? "The" in the English language is a definite article, meaning there can be but one. Okay, if it said a church, then we would know that there was some kind of choice here, that there was some kind of differentiation between two different churches, but that's not the idea here. He says, the church, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Again, that definite article describing just one. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself. There's another pronoun, it. He gave Himself for it. Again, a singular pronoun. That He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. That He might present it to Himself. Again, the word it. A glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of His body, of His flesh, of His bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined to his wife, and they too shall be one flesh. There is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Friends, bottom line, if I leave the church to go to a denomination, I reject the Bible teaching that there is only one church. In that passage that we just read, there are 12 nouns and pronouns used to identify the church, and every one of them is singular. Every one of them. So friends, if we come across someone and they confide in you that they're disenchanted with the church of Christ, they're disenchanted with the church that the Lord established, that I think I'm going to leave and I'm going to go to this church, whatever it may be, down the road. Friends, be sure to warn them that in so doing, they're rejecting Bible teaching on the one church that Christ established. Number two, if I reject or if I leave the church for a denomination, then I reject the Bible teaching that there is a specified pattern for worship. Because, friends, you're not going to find a denomination that worships God as He has prescribed. There's just not one out there. I want you to consider with me a few things. Turn with me to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. And look at verse 42. Notice what the disciples did, what those that had just been baptized did after obeying the gospel. Acts 2 and verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. My friends, doctrine there is teaching. And fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Friends, what we learn here really is of four facets of our worship. Okay? Fellowship there, I believe, is going to include the singing. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. They were hearing they continued to hear a portion of God's word. What God intended for them to hear continued to be preached unto them. And fellowship, them coming together, assembling together, as they were supposed to do in worship unto our God. Not only that, but they broke bread. Friends, that right there in the context is in reference to the Lord's Supper and in prayer. We do each one of those things each time that we come together to worship our God. There's a pattern there. Do you see it? That's why all of these things are mentioned here in Acts 2 and verse 42. There's a pattern that has been given to us. Look at Hebrews 8 and verse 5. Hebrews 8 and verse 5. God has always, always, always had a pattern for those that would follow Him, for them to follow. Hebrews 8 and verse 5, we read there, "Who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle, For see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount. Now, I want to point something out here. Now, indeed, this is talking about the tabernacle that Moses is about to go and build there that he got instructions for on the mountain. Now, I want us to notice here that God did not hand to Moses a blueprint. Okay? He didn't go up there and then come down with a set of blueprints scrolled up or rolled up under his arm. That's not what he did. God gave him words. And he built the tabernacle according to those words. Friends, in like manner, God has given us words, and we are to worship Him in following the words that He's given us. We have those words recorded in the Bible. We talked about the importance of such this morning. The Bible is all important, and especially, friends, when it comes to our worship. We are to follow the pattern that God has given. We are to follow His pattern in prayer, 1 Timothy 2 and verse 8. He tells us there how we are to pray, and the figure there is lifting holy hands unto Him. In other words, friends, we need to be able to go to God in prayer with a clean conscience. We have a pattern when it comes to our music or our singing. In Colossians 3 and verse 16, let's notice this together, these two passages. Colossians 3 and verse 16, as well as Ephesians 5, 19. Colossians 3 and verse 16 simply says, concerning our worship of our lips unto God, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Now friends, as we look out at the denominational world today, we're seeing these rock bands, we're seeing folks playing guitars, beating on drums, playing the piano or the organ, whatever the case may be. Friends, when's the last time that any one single one of those instruments has been able to admonish you about anything? When's the last time that a guitar was able to teach you anything? Will you sit it over here in the corner and try to learn some lessons from it? What are you going to learn? Nothing. Because it can't utter words. We are to sing with grace in our hearts to the Lord, Paul wrote to the Colossians. What about Ephesians 5? And verse 19. Ephesians 5 and verse 19 simply says, speaking. Instruments can't speak, can they? Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody. Now, here's the argument, as we talked about last week. When we asked the question, is there a door big enough? The argument that is given is that melody there comes from the Greek word solo, which means to pluck. Absolutely. Can't get around that, is it? No way to get around it. But friends, it says where we are to pluck, doesn't it? Melody in your hearts to the Lord. Singing and making melody in your hearts, we are to pluck the heartstrings. Friends, we have a pattern when it comes to our worship and the offering of our lips, and it is simply to sing. No instruments are mentioned in the New Testament. What about Revelation, as we mentioned last week? Friends, I can't tell you of a single denomination that I've ever heard of played a harp or a timbrel. Not a one. And as we talked about last week concerning the Revelation door, is we have to take that with a grain of salt, don't we? Seeing as how the book of Revelation is written in signs and symbols. We've got to understand that. We have a pattern for music, for our singing. And we find it in Colossians 3:16, Ephesians 5:19. We are to sing and make melody in our hearts to the Lord. There's a pattern for our preaching. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul gives to Timothy a pattern for preaching. He says in verse 1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom, preach the word. Be instant or ready, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Brother Marshall Keeble says you preach it when they like it and when they don't like it. Verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Friends, what is our pattern for teaching? The Bible. The truth.
And we are to speak the entire truth. Not just some of it, but all of it. We have a pattern for our preaching. There's a pattern for the Lord's Supper. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning in verse 18. Notice here what the Corinthians did concerning the Lord's Supper. Now we'll have you notice that we are not to do what the Corinthians did. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning of verse 18. For first of all, Paul says, when ye come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When ye come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. So Paul tells them, what you are doing is not right. He says, verse 21, for in eating every one taketh before other his own supper. And one is hungry and another is drunken. They weren't sharing. They weren't doing what they were supposed to be doing, as we have observed this morning, and as we will again for those that were not able to take this morning, this evening. Friends, what is to happen when we come together for the Lord's Supper? Well, it's not what the Corinthians were doing. You see, what was happening there was what they called love feasts. They were coming together and everybody was bringing their own stuff. And it wasn't like it was supposed to be. They were making an entire meal out of it. It wasn't supposed to be like that. Where one would continue to be hungry and another would have so much that they were drunken, it says. They had more than anyone else had. That's not the way it was supposed to be. For an eater, again, verse 21, for an eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry and another is drunken. What? Have you not houses to eat and to drink in? He says, save your regular meals for your house. That's not to take place in the assembly. Or despise you the church of God and shame them that have not. What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you. Here's our pattern now. That the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do. In remembrance of me. Now friends, I will submit to you that Jesus did not break off a bigger piece to give to Peter. He did not break off a bigger piece to give to John. He did not pour more of the fruit of the vine in John or Peter's cup than he did any of the other disciples. They all shared and shared alike when it came to the Lord's Supper. And it was unleavened bread as this took place during the feast of unleavened bread. And of the fruit of the vine. Verse 25, it's the same matter. Also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Verse 27, wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Friends, the Corinthians weren't doing that. They had made the Lord's Supper a profane thing. And Paul called them out on it. He told them, you better straighten up. You better do it right. Because if you continue in the way that you're doing it, you do so unworthily, he says. Friends, we have a pattern when it comes to the Lord's Supper. But when you look at the denominational world, they don't observe it as God tells us to. It's once a quarter. Some maybe once a month. A lot of folks will only observe it when they feel good and ready. That's not the pattern we see in the New Testament. We read of Paul staying in one place for 7 days for the sole purpose of being there to partake of the Lord's Supper. It took place every first day of the week. How do we know that? Friends, how many weeks have a Sunday? Every one of them. On the first day of the week, they came together to break bread. Friends, there's also a pattern for giving. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 and 2, we read of that pattern. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. What's our pattern? Upon the first day of the week, how many weeks have a first day? Every one of them.
We are to lay by in store. Friends, what that means for us in this pattern. And some of us may need to get out of a particular habit. But friends, notice what God says here. Now Paul put paper to, or pen to paper. But God said this. He said, let every one of you lay by him in store. What does that mean exactly when it comes to our pattern for giving? What we give to God, friends, is to come off the top. He doesn't get the crumbs. He doesn't get what's left over. God has never been satisfied with leftovers, has he? Hadn't the Israelites tried that? Go read the book of Malachi. They tried it. They gave God the leftovers. They were sacrificing the sick lambs and the maimed ones unto God. They weren't giving him the best as he called for. So friends, when the Bible tells us, the New Testament tells us to lay by ourselves in store, what that means, friends, is he gets what he gets off the top. I don't come to the end of the week and open my wallet and see what kind of cash I've got left to throw in the plate. Giving him the leftovers. That's not God's pattern. God gets his first. And friends, we need to remember that. Paul stresses that again in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. When he talks about his giving cheerfully. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart. Again, friends, there I am to make it a purpose within me. So let him give it not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Friends, we've got a pattern that God has given us. But if I leave the church for a denomination, then I reject the Bible teaching of a specified pattern for my worship. God says in John chapter 4, Jesus says in John chapter 4 and verse 24, that they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. My friends, I'm not going to deny that there are many in the denominational world that worship in spirit. They worship sincerely. They put their heart and their soul into their worship. My friends, they don't worship in truth. My friends, what you and I have to avoid is worshiping in truth, but not in spirit. The Israelites have tried that too. Going through the motions. Giving God what he asked for, but not giving of themselves. Friends, when I come to worship my God, there needs to be some emotion. There needs to be some feeling in my worship. If I come and I meet with the saints as God has required me to do, and I sing as God has required me to do, and I give as God has required me to do, I pray as God has required me to do. I listen to the preacher as God has required me to do. I even open my Bible a couple of times and I turn to the scriptures as God would want me to do. And at the end of the day, I do this just because God wanted me to do it. You know what James has to say about you? You do well. But the devils also believe in truth. Friends, God expects more than that. He expects my heart and my soul to be poured into my worship. And that's exactly what Jesus meant when he said, they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The true worshiper, friend, will worship God with everything that he's got. And he will do it just as God told him to do it. That's how we are to worship our Father, our Lord. But friends, if I leave the church for a denomination, I reject the Bible teaching that there is only one church, and I reject the Bible teaching that there is a specified pattern for my worship. My friend, it's my hope and prayer there's not a single person here tonight that this thought has ever crossed their mind. But I guarantee you, that if you haven't already, sooner or later, you're going to come across a person that either has left the church for a denomination or is thinking about it. Friends, sound the warning. Just as God had told Ezekiel in Ezekiel chapter 3. He told Ezekiel there that if I tell you that this evil man is going to die and you don't warn him, not only will he lose his soul, but you'll lose yours. I'll require his blood at your hands. Friends, if I know that someone is going that is thinking about leaving the church and going to the denomination, friends, and I don't go to them and I don't sound the warning, then I better expect on the day of judgment for God to hold me accountable. But sound the warning. Because he went on to tell Ezekiel, if I tell you that man's going to die, and you go and tell him that, and he doesn't repent of his evil way, then he will still lose his soul, but your hands are clean. Now, of course, I'm paraphrasing there, but that's found in Ezekiel chapter 3. Friends, would you have your hands clean tonight? It may be that you're here having never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as you put away your Bibles and take out your psalm books, I want you to consider these things with me. Friends, if you're here tonight having never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, we read in the Bible what we must do. And when we do that, friends, He will add us to the one church that we discussed briefly this evening. The church that He built, Matthew 16 and verse 18. For He built only one, and only one belongs to Him. Friends, are you here tonight not being a member of that church? Why not put Christ on in baptism? Allow Him to add you to His church. Friend, it may be that you're here. Maybe you did leave the church for a while. It may not have been for a denomination. It may have been for the world. Would you come back? Would you be His again? Friends, salvation is found in His church, not in the world. Not in some denomination. Be His again.